Hey, it's Zach here, and super quick before we dive into the show. If you haven't already, I want to make sure that you have subscribed to my free weekly Case of the Mondays newsletter, because it is where I share my best advice, strategies, and mindsets to help you design a creative career that you absolutely love showing up for every Monday morning. When you sign up, I'll even send you a bonus 5-day email course to help you clarify and prioritize the next small steps in your unique path to success. To sign up, just visit optimizeyourself.me/newsletter. All right, on to today's episode. My name is Zach Arnold, and I'm a former Hollywood film and television editor turned career strategist and the creator of Optimize Yourself, where I help artists, creatives, and storytellers just like you design the more balanced, more sustainable, and more fulfilling creative career that you deserve. In a nutshell, I'm Tim Ferriss meets Ted Lasso, minus the mustache, because I am obsessed with both learning everything I can about optimizing human potential while also inspiring you to realize yours. If you are ready to step outside your comfort zone, let's dive right in and unlock the optimized version of you. Hello, and welcome to the Optimize Yourself podcast, where I share honest and candid conversations with best-selling authors, world-class athletes, Hollywood legends, elite experts in a variety of fields, as well as everyday people that are achieving extraordinary things. It means the world to me that with all the podcast choices out there, you have chosen to invest your valuable time, energy, and attention with me. Now, before we get started, don't forget to visit optimizeyourself.me/podcast so you can subscribe, leave a review, and so you can also download your unique customized podcast playlist, where I'm going to send you the 5 best expert interviews from our archives to help you achieve your specific goals. So on that note, without further ado, let's get right to today's guest. Hello, and welcome to Hot Seat Friday, where I give you an inside glimpse into the world of the Optimizer community. Every Tuesday and Thursday morning, I host office hours live via Zoom, where I conduct a series of one-on-one coaching sessions and I help a student workshop whatever challenge they're facing next. We cover topics such as networking and outreach, workshopping resumes and websites, preparing for job interviews, designing career paths, and a multitude of challenges beyond just career growth, including time management and productivity, building and optimizing creative workflows, mindset, burnout, and so much more. These bite-sized 25-minute sessions are jam-packed with practical and actionable strategies that you too can use right away to design the more rewarding, the more fulfilling, and the more sustainable creative career that you deserve. If after listening, you're interested in joining the Optimizer community and having the opportunity to sit on the hot seat yourself, and I promise it's not as scary as it sounds, visit optimizeyourself.me/optimizer to learn more. Again, that's optimizeyourself.me/optimizer.
So, Zach, subject is pivoting the career. And yeah, this is my first hot seat. So
welcome to the hot seat. I know you've been a lurker for a while and have contributed some really good questions from the peanut gallery, and glad to see you right in the spotlight.
First thing, I mean, like I think I talked about it being a cathartic conversation because both of us have been at it for a minute, and I haven't heard a lot of cussing on the Zoom, and I if you need to reel me back at any time about my feelings about the business currently and how it's been, you just let me know.
We do our best to keep it clean-ish, knowing that okay. We're human, and every once in a while we got to vent our frustration. So not a total filter, but I do my best to keep it family-ish friendly.
Good. I mean, I just needed to know that ahead of time because I didn't want to start going off on a tangent. So the pivot just is, we talked before briefly, but I'll just catch it up, is that I was part of the layoff with Disney after being at FX for like 15 years. I had gotten into what one of my bosses had called a velvet coffin, right? It's not where I dreamed of necessarily being, but it was nice, you know? I mean, watching movies and shows to cut promos for it is a good job, and it's steady pay and things like that, and raising a family. And then after this layoff, it's all this hoop jumping to try to figure out how to get the next gig. And this last time was particularly very tough to the point that now I am delivering for Uber Eats. And I've just concluded that what I did is I sat down to try to get myself focused about what I wanted. And I'd said to myself, one of the things that came to my mind is, if I won the lottery, would I still want to be an editor? And I think I would edit, I would want to create, but I would not want to be an editor. I would not want to work on anybody's project. And I don't even know that on my own project, I think I'd rather defer to an editor and be able to just speak the language with them. So I wanted to get back to the original dream. The original dream was to be on the creative side. You know, I started off kind of as a writer, producer, director when I made my inroads to creative, but it's at a low level. So what I'm trying to do is figure out my pivot now. Like, how do I make, okay, my worries are making the money, not sounding like a weirdo, because the dream that I started off with is pretty big and I'm down the road in age and I only have so much experience. So the big dream is to be a feature filmmaker. So part of me feels irresponsible with that, you know, like with my family and everything, and that it feels like I've been this earner and I've been doing this thing and it's a good skill, good career. The irresponsibility feels like I'm saying, you know what I really wanted to do? I really wanted to be in a rock band and I'm going to dust off the guitar and finally learn to play it, you know? And that's how I feel. I feel kind of irresponsible. So because I don't have, the questions would be more like questioning you to get to your story of your pivots. Maybe you have a major pivot that comes to mind almost immediately, where you felt some of these insecurities, that there's the sense of, okay, how am I going to first make money at this? Or what am I going to do? What's the side money I make? And how low can that money make before it's not good for the family, right? And so I'm in that weird spot. I'm trying to take an inventory of the skills, figure out what do I have that could make more money than just driving my vehicle for Uber. Right. This also feels like I've jumped off a big ship into a little boat, and that boat is already leaking as, you know, robots and automated cars pass me on the road. I'm just, this is not going to be good enough for that long. So let's go there. Does something come to mind for you, a pivot in your career that was a really big one where you might have had some of these same anxieties and whatnot?
I am currently smack dab in the middle of career pivot number 5. So essentially what you're asking me is tell me your entire life story in 5 parts. Because this is literally the story of my life. And it's one of the reasons that it's absolutely central to the work that I do, is that despite not having 7 different degrees hanging up on my wall about the psychology and the academia of career pivots and career psychology, I've lived through this my entire career and I have crawled through the trenches, and I'm literally smack dab in the middle of career pivot number 5 as we speak, with all the same issues, all the same limiting beliefs. Should I really be going after this? I have such a stable job. It pays so well. Why would I be going after something different? Is it irresponsible? Is it stupid of me to be doing this at my age? I must be crazy competing against all these younger kids that are doing the same things. I feel like I'm a dinosaur. So yes, in short, high level of empathy for you right now. Okay. There's a reason talk about this all the time.
Maybe go to the early pivot then, because maybe that would be the one that's where I'm at. I feel like I'm in the dark and my pivot is kind of a self-preservation pivot. Like, there feels like there's some irresponsibility, but I'm also looking at the market and I'm going, okay, there's all these young editors who've come into the market too. Now, outside of people maybe streamlining their staff. And I kind of feel like what I was doing, broadcast promo, there's a lot of it still, but I don't know. And I also think that what they're offering for it, let's just say I had 3 different interviews where when they asked, do you have a salary requirement or an amount you'd like? And I said it, only one of them even started to counter with me. The other 2 didn't even say anything. They said, you're way out of our ballpark. We're good. And they didn't even want to talk. And I can't tell you how betrayed I felt in that interview. You know, it felt like they siphoned off some information and walked away, because I would have loved to have known what were you going to offer. So I know that if I ever went into that again, I think I would be like, oh, you know, I'm very negotiable. What were you guys thinking? You know, just tennis ball it right back to them. Mm-hmm. Like, just, you know, you tell me. So the pivot is really, I feel like, self-preservation. I don't like this idea of having somebody lay me off after so long. And that's really hard too. I mean, thankfully and not thankfully, I'm not in a mortgage. We still rent. We had been saving for a house. And I think I would have felt really anxious if I had a house and stuff. So And sorry if that just brought up anxieties with anybody. It's these things of, I don't like being in that seat of vulnerability with other people. And if I wanted this path in the beginning, and I got passionate about it because I did do a short film, I threw hooks into the water here. So I just want you to know that, can we go there? Like, what was the first one and were you, when you were in the dark? I'm sorry.
These are good questions. All of a sudden you've turned this into, you're the podcast interviewer and I'm the podcast guest, and I'm totally fine with that. I've been in both seats.
I think it'll work better.
what I don't want to do is go to my first pivot, because I don't think it's nearly as relevant to you as the more recent one that I did. My first pivot was just working as a trailer and promo editor and making the transition to features. I had no kids. I had no relationship. I was left to my own devices. I had plenty of extra money. So that was when I was 25 years old, free and clear. It's like, dude, go after your dreams and live off of ramen noodles. So I actually don't think that that's relevant to where you are now. I think the most relevant career pivot for me was the one that I made about 9 years ago, which, by the way, I'm still doing, which is the pivot from the only thing that I can do to make a living is edit television. It's the only thing that pays enough to support my family. I've made the realization that this is not the only thing that I want to do with my life. And this position is killing me and I need to find another way to make a living. Emotionally, I was in pretty much the same place that you are now. And even though I haven't talked about it a lot, I've mentioned it a couple of times in the past. When I was in the middle of that pivot, I just lost my house to the housing crisis. So emotionally, I know exactly what that feeling is. I have been as deep into the darkest trenches as the ones that you're talking about right now. I probably would have been delivering Uber Eats if it existed, but this was like 10, 12 years ago now. But I had that realization of the only way that I can make a living is doing this. The only difference in our situations is there was plenty of work, as opposed to for you, the opportunities aren't even there. I just didn't want the opportunities because of what they were doing to my lifestyle and to my health and to my family. That was kind of the impetus for everything that I've created over the last.
I have a little bit of that as well.
So I've very much been in the middle of these questions and I've asked these of myself. I've had these conversations with my wife. So before getting into the practical of, you know, what pivot to make and what to go after and what are the jobs and the economy, I don't want to get into any of that yet. I want to dig a little bit more into what I think is the crux of this conversation, is that this is irresponsible of me. Because if we don't do something about that mindset, it doesn't matter if I polish your resume. It doesn't matter if we having you go out after different projects. If we try to get you to become a director, none of that matters, because the voice in your head says, I should not be doing this because this is irresponsible and this is the wrong thing to do. So until we do something about that, I can't help you with any of my other strategies or tactics.
Okay.
All right. So that's what I want to dig into. So welcome to the hot seat, my friend. Welcome to career therapy at a group level.
Yeah. I can see myself being on this hot seat a couple of times. People are going to be like, Brett is the crazy person here.
Yeah. What I can assure you is that you're not. And there are a lot of people that don't have the courage to share what you've shared on the hot seat, because what you shared today is a message I've gotten 400 or 500 times. And when I talk about the analogy of, I know people that have won Emmys that are delivering Uber Eats, people think that I'm making like a hypothetical generalization. These are real stories of real people. You're right here proving that.
Yeah. I think that was a little bit of where I didn't want to discourage any of the young people coming in, because I'm just, you know, I'm looking like, I want to move a little. You're trying to come in. You should be aware of this, like, be passionate about what you're doing. Remember this moment too, when you're trying to get in and what you're learning here, because you want to keep, you know, like I said, the velvet coffin. I got comfortable.
Yeah.
You heard the term before. I got comfortable, thought I was there, ready to die in that position, but not really fulfill my
exactly.
dream.
And it's funny because it's there are two different terms that explain the same situation. And it really is glass half full, glass half empty. The way that a lot of people talk about it is the golden handcuffs. That's the glass half full. The velvet coffin, that's as empty as the glass gets. Same exact situation where you're trapped by the comfort, you're trapped by the need for stability and the finances, but it's not really something that you're passionate about and it doesn't feel like you're calling. Right. Yeah.
So I loved it enough.
Yeah. You loved it enough to be able to stay there. But now that it's gone, you realize that you're not clawing and scraping, trying to get your way back into doing TV promos for cable networks. Right. It's not like, oh, my God, this is who I am. This is the only thing I know. To my dying day, I'm going to cut promos for cable channels and I must find a way to get back in. Like, I'm not getting that sense from you right now.
Well, I've made an effort. I have been making the effort and I had a little bit of it, but even before the layoff, I had that feeling inside of, do I really want to be promoting other people's dreams? Is this where I started? This is not what I started out to be. And I'm not getting any younger. Time's running out.
You know? Exactly. That's why I talk about all the time, the idea of being a cog on the assembly line of somebody else's dreams. Exactly. And I want to help give you the necessary strategies, tactics, but in this case, different mindsets to be able to really design your own unique path. Let's just go right into it. And let's talk about how irresponsible you are being on this hot seat, talking about a career pivot, shall we? So I'm going to use your analogy of, well, I've decided I want to be a rock star, right? So I'm just going to stop paying all my bills. I'm not going to even look for work. I'm going to buy the most expensive guitar and I'm just going to go off on tour. That's pretty irresponsible for somebody that's got a family, right? So that's what it feels like to you right now when you're thinking, I want to pursue this other pivot. And what I'm trying to do is separate the logical brain from the emotional brain. Logically, is that what you're saying right now?
No, I think I'm there is an action that I am doing that shows I don't want to be that irresponsible and that I'm delivering food for people.
Right. But emotionally, are there times when you feel like that's what you're saying? Or just feel like I'm totally abandoning everybody?
Yeah, because broadcast promo and then going feature filmmaker at my age is just like, I don't know. I don't know.
All right. So now I want to look at this from another perspective. This is a harder one to manage because it's much more emotional, but this is also a journey that I've been on. What do you think is more responsible for you being a father and being a husband? Spending the rest of your career living in a velvet coffin, barely getting by to make sure you pay the bills, or demonstrating you're somebody that goes after hard things that you believe in, that you're passionate about?
Right. You kind of answer it with the last question. That last question is the answer, is to do that. And I do think that's a good thing. I want to demonstrate to them that I there was a reason I got to that other position. I want to get back to the eye of the tiger, if you will, and go fight for the next position and show that that was not a bogus dream, that I'm built for this. It's just that this wrecked my confidence. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, Zach. I took the layoff with them. They even offered it back, the job back, kind of, with this caveat of, you know, you better be do. There was some internal strife with a particular VP, SVP or whatever that basically I just felt like I couldn't get along with this guy no matter. And I was reaching out to him as an employee and he was like not having it, whatever, had a personal issue. So the job was kind of offered back. But because there were these tensions, it was like, you should take this now. You should get out of here, you know, and new opportunity, new road. And then I went out there and I dealt with the big agencies and there's, you know, it was tough. There was a lot of, you know, and I don't know if it's just COVID too, but not a lot of communication, get things done. They kept me on for, my friend said, a better period of time than they would, because it was like 3 months, three places. I got stayed for 3 months. And they said if they really hated you, they'd have got rid of you after the first month or the second month. So 3 months, not too bad. But either way, at the end of it, I felt like, look, I've had jobs and I did well and people wanted to keep me on. And now this hasn't happened this many times in a row. And it just took the wind out of my sails. It just.
Yeah. So this is not devaluing what you're going through at all, but you're definitely amongst friends when going through this experience has caused you to lose confidence. That's kind of part and parcel with this whole experience, partially because the way that our entire economy and educational system and society are designed is that our worth is defined by our employment. It's not that the system is broken. The system is just broken for us. The system works perfectly for the ones who've designed it and for whom they benefit from the fact that your entire worth is associated with your employment. And the fact that you've done this pretty consistently, doing this one thing and doing it at a very high level. If I said that I want to be able to cut promos for TV and features working for Disney and effects, that's pretty high up there. Like that's pretty much as a level as you get doing specifically what you do. But now that we've removed that as part of the equation and part of the identity, your confidence is saying, yeah, but now who am I? Now where is my worth? And that's not a fault of yours. That's a fault of the system not being designed for you, the individual. The system is designed for those that benefit from it. So it doesn't make it any easier to deal with, but I want to share with you that it's not that there's some fault in you or there's something about you that's weak or that's broken. It's a very, very broken system from our perspective. So the fact that you've spent most of your entire adult life being defined by this thing that also supported your family, that gets removed. It's not just a loss of employment, it's a loss of identity and it's a loss of self-worth. Mm-hmm. So that's all, unfortunately, part of the journey. So I want to go back to this idea of it feeling irresponsible and how I can help you start to overcome that. One of the things that's very, very common with people that have either decided voluntarily or involuntarily have been put in the position where I have to make a career pivot. And I think you're not one or the other. You're kind of in the middle, or I think that in a way you might have ended up here under different circumstances, even if you hadn't been laid off and the economy wasn't what it was, because your intuition said it's time for me to figure something out because this isn't working. But either way, in some way, shape or form, I think you'd be where you are now. So having said that, when people get to this position, they think, now I must choose a different direction. Now I'm going on a totally different path. But what they lose sight of is that it takes years to make these transitions, and you kind of have to have your toe dipped into both pools for a long time. So for all of my pivots, and I'll go through them very, very briefly. The first pivot was working as a high-level trailer promo editor for a trailer agency, decided I want to edit features. Okay. Trailer editors can't edit long form. You're a short form guy. Screw it. So I edited my first feature, got picked up by Fox Searchlight. The rest is history. But I spent years trying to get more credits as an indie feature editor, and they paid nothing. So for years, I was both cutting trailers and promos and featurettes, and didn't matter what it was. If it paid my day rate or my week rate, I cut it. I mean, there was just no filter. It was a paycheck job as long as it afforded me the time to be able to continue working on features. So I would work on trailers for 2 months, cut features for 4 months, work on a trailer for a month, cut a feature for 5 months. So I was really, really good with my finances, so that I was living way below my means, so that when I worked at my day rate and my weekly rate, working for a month bought me 3 or 4 months. That's where I was building my portfolio. That's where I was building my relationships and making the pivot. Then all of a sudden, just as I was right on the cusp of getting into the world of studio features that were like the indie studio darlings, like the $10 million Searchlights, Paramount Classics, New Market Films, that was kind of the heyday of the prestige indie. Those all started to crumble and there was no more of those, and everybody was moving to television. And I thought, shit, looks like I have to make another career pivot. So I made the pivot from features to TV, and now TV started to pay my bills. But I was still balancing back and forth between trying to build a portfolio of things that I really wanted to work on versus working on things that were cool that paid the bills. Then came the big pivot that is the one that we're talking about here that's very similar to yours, where I was working at least in network television, I was working at the highest level. I was cutting the number one show on television that had broken 3 decades of ratings records. Absolutely miserable, because the lifestyle was completely crushing me and was not in alignment with any of my values of trying to be a present father, trying to be healthy. It was literally killing me. That's when I realized I needed to make another career pivot. So that job was paying the bills, but at the same time, I was spending nights, weekends, anytime that I could, gaps between shows, saving all the money that I could from the TV projects so that I could start to build this community and this program. Took me years to build this. This wasn't just a fly by night, like, ooh, here's an online course about how to build an email list and start coaching people. Like, to go from the point where I actually had the infrastructure and I could start doing this to having clients was about 3 years. Slowly building it up, learning all the techniques, reading the books, figuring out how to conduct an interview on a podcast. How do you put people on an email list? How do you send them a newsletter? Well, how would you build a course? How do you get people to buy it? There are so many moving parts. And I was financing that learning with the time that I was working on TV series. And literally today, 9 years into this pivot, do you know what I'm going to be doing after I'm done with Office Hours? I'm going to be cutting Cobra Kai. Still straddling both. Now, the gaps that I've had between editing jobs have gotten much larger, and my taste has become much more specific, to the point where I told my agent, I will negotiate for one show, and it must have the words Cobra and Kai in the title. If it doesn't, I am retired and I am unavailable. He's like, you can't be serious. I'm like, I am very serious, and don't call me Shirley. So I all but retired from the world of TV editing, except for this show. Number one, because I absolutely love the show and I feel like it's a huge part of who I am, but it's also central to the mission of this program, where I can use so many of my experiences and the mindsets, because the overlap, the synergy between what I do in this coaching program and what I do on that show, it's almost like the same job, except I use Zoom versus Avid, but I'm still editing all day long, right? And I have multiple students, they're like, oh, well, you're my Mr. Miyagi. It's like the blend between the two is ridiculous. But I still do both. But I've had gaps of over 2 years between seasons, like the end of season 5 and the beginning of season 6, between the fact that they have long gaps plus the strike. I went more than 2 years without editing a single frame of TV. So much so that when I started on season 6, I'm like, do I even know how to open the Avid? Am I going to know how to? Like, I was legitimately concerned I wouldn't remember how to do it anymore. And then after like 30 minutes, I'm like, oh, never mind. Like, my brain just knew. I didn't know what I was doing, but my brain knew what I was doing. And all of a sudden it all clicked, right? The point being, I want you to get out of the mindset that you're myopically going in one direction and you're going to be straddling both, right? Pivots take a long time, and it's not a matter of now I'm choosing this direction, I'm completely going all in on this, and it's irresponsible because there's no way to be able to finance this journey. So you have to set that expectation that you're going to be balancing both. Here's where our circumstances are different. I had plenty of opportunities available to me to make the paycheck and to sustain my family while I was pursuing the passion, until the passion was able to finance it. Right. That's what's different about my circumstance than yours. And I want to point out that very, very obvious difference is that you can't say, well, I guess I can keep cutting TV promos while I figure out how to be a director, because there's no work out there. That's the main challenge that you're facing that I wasn't facing 9 years ago. And I'm very aware of it.
Thanks.
So I'm very aware.
However, I'm aware too, and it's,
But what I really want you to focus on is the fact that I believe that there's a lot of value in you pursuing something that you really believe in, that's really going to make you shine and be more energetic and be more yourself, because I think that's really valuable to your family. I think just finding another place to put your velvet coffin probably isn't helping anybody once it surpasses we're meeting our basic financial needs. So clearly, basic financial needs and supporting your family, that's the responsible thing to do. And until you're able to do that, that's an area where you're going to have to focus. Once you've done that, then I think it's time to put all the extra time, energy, and attention towards really giving yourself the permission to pursue something that you believe in.
Okay. Well, so then here's another part of that mindset. If we take away just the velvet coffin, I would say there's something about my personality that it's like nesting. I go, okay, I'm going after this. I need this for money. And I go do that and I get going. And then I want to get good. I want to learn all the systems. I want to get focused, and it's 8 hours and it's great. But then that is my day and that is my time. And this is an energy thing too. I mean, I'm embarrassed to admit this too, but sometimes I look at this and I go, do I have the energy to get that full day, spend time with my family, get all the tasks done for the home, keep this up, you know, these things, and then still have time for my dream? And that time for my dream thing is like a common thing with people. So when you're saying the straddling part, I find myself being the nester. Like, even when I did the Uber Eats, I was so worried about going to do it because I knew my persona. It's like, I'm going to go, oh, how can I squeeze every freaking penny out of delivering food? How can I figure out the pattern to log? How many hours? How much gas? All this stuff so that I can figure out, because I'm going to figure out the secret formula to making that be the thing that I can, and then I'll work my time into that. And I already see myself falling into the same pattern of nesting into that thing. And part of it is a good aspect of my mind, in that it's going, I want to be really good at this thing when I do this. I don't know about optimize it, because optimizing would optimize my time toward the things I really want to be doing. But I get into that nesting thing, you know what I mean? And so that's the thing. I see you doing all these things, juggling all these things. And I get tired looking at watching you, you know, and I go, I want to be able to have that energy to do it. But I don't know right now. I get doubtful of myself.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I get really tired doing it too. So if I come across as having boundless energy and it's all effortless, that's very much the wrong impression. And if you really want to go deep in how much of a struggle this is, I've been more candid and more vulnerable over the what's going to be, I believe, starting last week over the next four podcast episodes than anybody has ever heard before. The short version is that my life has been an absolute shit show behind the scenes for a year and a half now. So if I come off as, oh, this is so easy, it's effortless, he has all this energy, there are times when I wake up thinking, if I make it to the end of the day without a nervous breakdown in the ER, today was a good day. So yeah. I don't want to give the impression that it's easy and I'm going through all the same things that everybody else is right now. I hate being that person that gives the impression that it's all easy and I've got my jet behind me and I've got pictures of me with my Ferrari and I hate that shit. So I want to be very candid. This is not easy. And it takes a ridiculous amount for me to be able to get through the day sometimes with the amount of energy that it takes. But here's how I summon the energy, because I believe in what I'm doing and I believe that it's my calling and it's making an impact. When you find that, the energy finds you.
Yeah.
So let me give you an example of how we can, this is going to be a much bigger conversation. I'm not going to solve this in the next 2 minutes of a hot seat.
Right.
As I always say, this is about inception. I just want to plant the seed of an idea and I want to let it grow. The fact that no matter what you go into, you are truly trying to optimize all of it. Even with Uber Eats, it's not a job. It's I got to learn the algorithm and I got to figure out the mileage and how do I get the most out of this? That's a great character trait to have, right? So as far as your focus is concerned, you have laser-like focus for making the best out of a situation. I would say that right now, let's take the paycheck necessity out of it. Clearly, your laser is pointed in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
You spending your time and energy optimizing the money you get from Uber Eats makes absolutely no sense as far as your career path is concerned. I respect the fact that you're doing it to support your family. So it's not a judgment on that at all. But if we're talking about truly managing your time, energy, and attention, you've got a really powerful focus laser that's pointed 180 degrees in the wrong direction. Right? So what I always do is ask myself with whatever it is that I'm doing next, am I going to be acquiring skills, building a network, learning new abilities, or having experiences that get me closer to my goal? So on the surface, many would say, well, why in the world would you have spent so much time and energy and money, by the way, it was a very expensive goal to pursue wanting to be an American Ninja Warrior? Because I knew that all of the skills that I would acquire and the experiences that I would acquire were moving me towards the goal that I had set for myself, which is far bigger than just building a coaching program. The coaching program is kind of planting the seed in the foundation of something much, much larger. An example being that one of the pivots that I'm going through literally as we speak, once Cobra Kai is over, I'm moving towards being a speaker and being an author, wanting to write books and wanting to travel and speak about the ideas that I write about. That is terrifying. Number one, because I hate traveling. I hate being around people in person. I've got massive amounts of social anxiety. When people meet me at live events, they think I'm full of shit. Ask my wife. Massive amounts of social anxiety. And the thing that scares me the most is traveling and being in front of people and dealing with people in person and then sharing my most vulnerable ideas. That's the direction that I'm going next. An early part of that was forcing myself outside of my comfort zone. An American Ninja Warrior was a great way to confront a lot of my biggest fears, both physically and mentally. So let me give you an example of how choosing something was part of developing a skill set. One of the relationships that I built over the years that I've talked about before is with Tony Horton, who's the creator of the P90X exercise program. He's kind of this generation's Jack LaLanne. And everybody that's younger than 40 is like, Jack who? So I'm going to be dating myself there. But most people have at least heard the name Tony Horton if you're in the fitness space. To a certain generation, he's an absolute legend. He's basically, you know, Mick Jagger. Again, I'm totally dating myself. He's the Taylor Swift of fitness in my generation for all the younger people. The point being that this was somebody that I knew building a relationship with would be beneficial. And one of the skills that I wanted to learn is how to work with people to really help them overcome their biggest fears and also start public speaking. And Tony does these events at his house, which is more of a compound. He's got all these fitness apparatus. It's basically bigger than most gyms. And he invites like 30 people to basically come at his house for 4 days and do this deep dive immersion. I volunteered for that event for free. And I basically fed people food and I took out Tony Horton's trash. As somebody who makes a very comfortable living working at a very high level in TV editing and has a nice weekly rate, I'm literally taking out somebody's trash for free. But that wasn't a waste of my time, my energy, or my attention because I was surrounded by the right people and I was developing new skills at an exponential rate. watching the best in the world motivate and inspire people to overcome their fears. And that led to an opportunity for me to be able to speak at his event. He's like, hey, why don't you be a speaker? So now anytime he does an event, he's like, you're my closer. You better be available because you're the one that closes out my entire event. That's given me the ability in a safe space to really confront some of my fears. So if you're looking towards what are some opportunities that I can find that are going to help me sustain my family and I can make the responsible choice, but also develop some new skills or strengthen some existing character, now it's not going to totally feel like it's a waste of your time, energy, or attention.
Right.
So I know that that was a mouthful and a half, but you were the one that turned into podcast interview and I became podcast guest. So I talked
a little bit
about what I usually do.
That's what I wanted though. I think that that thing you're talking about is totally, it's along the lines of how I got to where I got to, where I, you know, became a creative. I volunteered to do extra work, working at a TV station. You have the spot I can work on for you. So that's good. I think my thing is just, like you said, I got to sort this stuff in my head. I got to get back to and then are we at the end of my time? Cause
we're pretty much. Yeah, I mean, I can wrap it up with a quick one, but I definitely want to transition shortly. Yeah,
we'll continue it.
We can do another one. I'll see you again.
It'll have to be continued. Yeah, but I appreciate it. I think we're off to the first parts, and I'll give more to the next thing later.
Last follow up question: have you already gone through my Design Your Dream Career workshop?
No, I'm sorry, I have not.
You don't need to apologize. But this is going to basically be the 4-hour version of you and I being on a hot seat. And if you're like, what, I want Zach to ask me the hard questions, all of them are in that workshop. It's basically 8 years of me doing private coaching, writing, teaching classes. It's 8 years of my work to better understand how to navigate a career pivot, all in one workshop, step by step.
Okay. Oh, one last thing I was going to say, say hi to Debbie Germino for me if you talk to her anytime soon.
I'm literally going to be messaging her as soon as we get off this call because she messaged me this morning.
I didn't know that you knew Debbie. We worked at Digital Jungle together right before she went to go work on Smallville.
Oh, small world. I'll definitely make sure to tell her that Brett Williams says hello.
All right.
Great. I'll hope to see you on a future hot seat.
All right. Thanks, Zach.
Thank you so much for investing both your time and energy listening to today's show. If you were inspired by this conversation, don't forget to subscribe in your podcast app of choice, and most importantly, leave a review, because that helps move the show to the top of iTunes and get our message out there to those who need it the most. Simply visit optimizeyourself.me/subscribe to never miss another episode. Lastly, stay safe, healthy, sane, and most importantly, be well.